You know, when I started this, I started a study a long time ago, about 3 months ago, in fact. And as I started this study, I was telling Sister Sherry about it. I'm starting a study on walking with God. And I stayed in that. By the time I got done, there was like 2 pages of notebook paper on both sides full of scriptures. Now, here's the good news. I'm not going over all them scriptures tonight. Yes, glory to God. So I'm going to try to condense that and give you some nuggets, okay? Because you could actually study walking with the Lord or walking with God for a year and not get it complete. But what I'm hoping is that you can glean some of this so that it could cause you to grow. Now, there's a verse, John 17, 17. Is it up there? Sanctify them by truth, by the truth. Your word is truth. I'm going to ask my husband to pray.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, right now,
I just pray for this congregation, for all of us, that we can receive, Father, that we can receive those nuggets that you have for us, and that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Sister Millie. I'm not all that Kelly said I was. I'm some of what she says, but every morning, Angela and I have Bible study. But I cheat. The day before, I look up all the scriptures that we're going to go over. And I put bookmarkers in them because he knows them all. And I have no chance. And it used to be, Sister Melissa, that he would go, tell me when you're going to get there. And I would give him this look like, so now I get there and I'll say, I'm waiting on you. He goes, are you cheating? I said, yeah, I'm cheating. Sure. That's how I do it. But walking with God, you know, one of the things that impressed me so much, there's 66 books in the Bible. And out of all those 66 books, only 3 places or 3 persons or things that you see that word, so-and-so, walked with God. That doesn't mean that there wasn't other people that walked with God, but there were. But I wanted to look at those people that it was said that they walked with God. Because I wanted to be one of them, Mary. I wanted to be, and then I come to find out through my study that that should be a desire of each one of us to walk with God. So the first person that it's mentioned in the Bible is this guy named Enoch. It's in the Old Testament. And I'm cheating again. I've got all the scriptures wrote down. All right, so let's go look at first Enoch, then Noah, then Levi. And when we talk about Levi, we're talking about the tribe of Levi. Enoch, now here's it. Do you know that part in Genesis where it says, so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. I have to skip over that. Sister Virginia, I didn't think that was important. Come to find out, that's important. I didn't know that. So I started studying it because I wanted to know a little bit more about Enoch. Enoch was the son of Jared. Enoch had Methuselah. Methuselah had Lamech. Lamech had Noah. Now, Methuselah, the oldest guy in the Bible, lived to be 969 years old. That's old. All right, now when we look at Enoch, let's look at him to begin with. At age 65, let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. This is what it says about Enoch. After he begot, that means after he had this son, Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So at age 65, Enoch had Methuselah. And it said, after he had Methuselah, he walked with God. Well, Sister Virginia, I thought, what's so special about Methuselah? So I looked up his name. Methuselah means this. At his death, the waters will come forth. So when you think about the flood, how many of you just thought about Noah? Yeah? It was way back there. Enoch got a revelation from the Lord. And when he got that revelation, God became real to him. Now, each one of our children, at some point in time, where's Shane? Right over there. There's Shane. Let's have all the young people stand up. All you young people stand up. At some point in time, Jesus will become real to these young people or not. It's up to them. But I do know this. There's an age of accountability. Kelly Mae, age 7. I'm a slow learner. I was 18. Angela said, you need Jesus. I said, I need who? And he said, well, you need Jesus. And I said, now my dad told me, you young people can sit down, but I want you guys to look at them. Do we have any 15-year-olds? There's a 15-year-old. Do we have a 17-year-old? Nope. Okay. Do we have a 10-year-old? Stand up, sweetie. This is how a 10-year-old looks. Okay. You sit back down, because I'm going to use you later on. No, where was I? Accountability. My dad told me that, Millie, as long as you were good and didn't kill anybody, you make it to heaven okay. So I told this to Angelo. He goes, no. You need a Savior. I said, I do. He said, yeah. And I said, looked at him, and this is what I said, Angel. I could see where you needed a Savior. Because he had a lot of rough edges. But you know what? I came to the realization at age 18 in a back pew in Calvary Community Church that I needed one. Yes. Amen. That's how long it took me. So the age of accountability is different for everybody, but you know, you never know. I do know this. Stand up, Colton. Colton's getting close. Sit down. Okay. All right, so Methuselah meant he was named after divine revelation. And you don't hear too much about Enoch. You just know that he walked with God. But here's something unique about him. He was translated, which means he never died. He never died. He was just like Star Wars. He was beamed up. He was here, and then he wasn't. So, and it was said about Enoch that he pleased God. Wouldn't you like that to be written next to your name? Millie Florenciano, please God. Amen. Walk with God. We should all desire to do that. That should be in us. So he pleased God. Let's look at Jude 14, verses 15 and 16. I know, hon, you're already there. Oh, I wrote it down. Yeah, it's chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Thank you, dear. It's a very small book in the Bible. I got it here in a minute. It's stuck right here. All right, here we go. Actually, I want to start at verse 14. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings. Behold, the Lord cometh when 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that all ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men, persons, admirations because of the advantage. So Enoch, we can see, he's mentioned in the Old Testament and New Testament, but only briefly. He's also in the, what they call the Hall of Faith, which is in Hebrews. All right, let's look at Noah. Now, even though that these men walked with God, it doesn't mean that they were perfect. We all know that Noah had some problems. I mean, he drank one time, or maybe more, and was found naked by one of his sons who failed to cover him up, and the other one covered him up. So it doesn't mean you're perfect when you walk with God. You're human. But the desire in your heart is to walk with God. So that's what that tells us. He is known to be a just man, perfect in his generation. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. All the way to the front again. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah, a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. So we know Noah walked with God. And let's look at the Hebrews chapter 11. All right, here we see Enoch mentioned and Noah mentioned. Let's look at Hebrews 11, chapter 5, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, to walk with God, you have to make it your goal to please him, and you have to have faith. And it says here you have to believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you have to seek him. You have to put forth an effort in a relationship with God. Now, I was telling Angelo the other day, I said, you know, there isn't anybody going to slip into heaven. You can't dig underneath that fence. You can't go over the fence. There's only one way you can get into heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. So, but you have to. If you take breath into your lungs and you're not taken right away after you are saved, then you have to be responsible for participating in a relationship with God, the Father and God, the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, 1 or 2 years ago, there was this gal, Sam, at the track at the park that kept trying to walk with my husband. Okay? Now, that's okay, you know. But Angelo, you know, he didn't want to give the appearance, and so he just walked faster. You know, because if you walk with someone, you have to agree with them. That's in Amos 3:3. But Noah, let's look at Noah first. That was just a nugget there. Be careful who you walk with, you know. Make sure you're going to agree. By faith, Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. So to walk with God, you have to have faith. One, you have to have salvation. Two, faith. All right. Then we have to look at Levi. I think that's mentioned in Malachi chapter 2. It is. All right. Malachi chapter 2, starting at verse 4. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. The injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. So you may not remember this, but in the book of Exodus, we see the tribe of Levi is the tribe that's devoted to the priesthood. And there was a time when Moses went up to the mountain. God told him, get back down. They're building an idol to worship. Well, Aaron was a Levi. And he, like I said, just because you walk with God, you're not perfect. He kind of bent under pressure. And he said, yeah, go ahead and take your earrings off and your necklaces and your bangles, and we'll make this cow. And we'll bow down and worship. Well, here comes Moses down from the mountain. And he's upset. The Lord's upset. The tablets have been broken. And he draws a line at the entrance of the camp. And he says, anyone that's on the Lord's side, stand with me. Angela, stand with me for a minute. You okay, sweetie? All right. So he said, anyone on the Lord's side, stand with me. And then, which was the tribe of Levi, all got up and stood with him. And then he said, go through the camp and kill them. So these priests were devoted men, even though that they had crossed the line at first and built that calf, now said, I'm going to go ahead. I know what God can do. I'm going to be standing with the Lord. And that's when that covenant was made, that they walked with God. Okay, thanks, sweetie. So you can read all about that. That's in Exodus chapter 32, 1 through 6, and Exodus 32, 26 through 29. I'm trying to hurry because I don't want to keep you guys too late. So the tribe of Levi, they feared God. They were reverent to his name. They had the law of truth, and they turned many away from iniquity or sin. Now, one of the things that brought me to this study is a verse in Micah 6:8. Can you put that up there for me? Micah 6:8. I'll get there. There we go. This is what it says. He has shown you, O mortal, or O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To act justly. Do what's right. Even when it's hard, do what's right. Act justly. Remember I said Noah was just man? To love mercy. To walk humbly with your God. Now, when I'm saying walking with God, that doesn't mean you actually walk physically with him. You do it spiritually, of course. Walking with God is an intimate heart relationship with God through faith in his Son. And with whom we walk is a choice. It will determine who we serve, our direction, our choices in life, and most importantly, our final destination. You must walk by faith. Hebrews 11:6. Remember, we just read that. You walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. You walk in Jesus, which is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. You walk like Jesus, 1 John 2:6. To walk with God means that you and God are in agreement. Let's look at Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they agree? You can't argue with God. You may really want to do something in the flesh, but unless you and God agree, he's not going to walk with you. See what I'm saying? Okay. To walk with God means you're walking in the Spirit. Let's look at Galatians 5:16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking with God means walking in step. Now, Angelo is a good walker. I can't keep up with him. He walks really fast. And when he was in the hospital, he said, Millie, what do I do to get out of the hospital? I said, when they come around, those PT people come, and they tell you to get up and walk. You walk, and you walk your best you can, and they'll let you go. He walked them into the ground. They had to stop and rest. But with the Lord, you have to walk in step. You can't get ahead of him. You can't fall behind. You have to walk in step. That's in Isaiah 40:31. Let's see what that says. We actually have a song about this one as well. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. And you might recognize that because we sing that. Walk with purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. It's talked about in Jeremiah 29:11. Let me go there real quick. says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." So he knows the plan that he has for us. Now, Satan, on the other hand, has a lot of detours that you can fall into. Let's look at Matthew 7, 13, and 14. And the reason why I talked about Colton is I noticed he's beginning to have a hunger for the Word. He was on me about Bible study. And he wanted to know some scriptures. And I thought, he's getting to where he wants to know the Lord a little deeper. Okay, in verse 13, Matthew 7, 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few that find it." There's not many people, Sister Mary, that want to pay a price for developing a relationship with the Lord. They have trouble being in the Word, studying the Word, walking with the Lord, dedicating themselves to the Lord, sanctifying themselves. They have problems with that. One of the biggest stumbling blocks for people is faith. They have trouble believing that God is real. And he is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. Now, so Satan has detours that come at a cost, and at times they'll cost you your life. Now, on 4/20, 1999, do you guys know what happened that day? Columbine. Casey, Renee, stand up. This is a school teacher. She is trained to know what to do if someone walks into that school with a gun. It's part of her training. How sad is that? How sad is that? Okay, thank you, sweetie. And all teachers are taught that. They're taught to stand in the way if you have to. Sad. In Columbine, there were 12 students and one teacher that lost their lives. One little girl was named Casey Burnell. She was 17. The youngest one was Stephen Cornell, 14. Do we have a 14-year-old? No 14. Do we have a 15-year-old? Shane. So we have a 15-year-old, but I don't have a 14-year-old. You know, I'm not surprised that some of our young people aren't here because they needed to hear this. Because let me tell you, our kids now walk. We, each one of us, have a time span here on the face of the earth. And you will either choose to walk with God or not. You will either choose to be saved by Jesus Christ or not. That's your choice. It will decide your destination. Now, we just recently had a school shooting in an elementary school. Most of those children were 10 years old. Carson Paul, stand up. That's how a 10-year-old looks. So 19 children died in that school, two teachers, 17 injured. Now, Satan would want you to believe it's because of gun control. It's not gun control. It's Satan. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what he, you know what he's doing? He's going into our school systems. He's killing our children, Tommy, because Christians beget Christians, and the time is coming close to the end. And people are playing. They're not taking it serious. We have children dying. One of them could have been a Billy Graham. One of them could have been an evangelist that would save multitudes of people, we don't know. Their life was stolen from us. And that's what's happening in our school systems. Because they even started, you know, this happened in Bible time. This is nothing new. Herod killed infants trying to get Jesus. Yes. So this is nothing new. This is not a new tactic of his. If he can get them before they come to the age of accountability, yes, they're going to go to heaven, but they could have saved so many more. There was a little girl named Rachel in the Columbine murder of these children. And she was one of the first ones shot. One of her fellow students said, because she was praying out loud, "Do you believe in God?" She said, "Yes, I do." "Why?" "My parents put him in me." What are you putting in your children? Are you taking the time? Are you taking the time to put Jesus in them? When we were raising our kids, Angela had Bible study with him every morning. And he was stickler on pronunciation. Weren't you, hon? He made them pronounce those words correctly and so they could understand what they're reading. And many times, they go over the same verse 3 or 4 times before they got it right. But it was important that we plant that seed in them. So the school systems, when you look at that, recognize and put your hands on your children in the morning. Yes. Pray over them. Make sure that you cover them with the blood of Jesus, that they're safe. Most of all, each one of you, walk with God. Take the time to know him. Get in his word. Know his word so that you know how to minister to them. Because you're the most important thing right now in their lives. You are the most important. And if you're a grandparent, your kids aren't in church, you may be the only thing planting in their life. You know? And that's the honest to truth. You see these empty seats? Some people should have been here. They ain't here. Something come before. Some of them have legitimate excuses. That's fine. But the most important relationship in your life is Jesus Christ. Now, you could look at me and say, "Well, what's this all about, Millie?" I'm asking you to step up. I'm asking you to come to the line where Moses was. Who's going to stand with Jesus? Who's going to walk with him? Have you just been getting by? If you've just been getting by, stand up right now and Kelly's going to pray for you. And Brother Angelo, Pastor Angelo.
We're here Wednesday night, and I preached the message about the troubling of the water. And this service is about new beginnings. That's what it's about. And the Lord is saying, if you need a new beginning, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. There are people in this room that need a new beginning. Is the water in your heart being troubled? If it is, you need to come right up here. And if that's too much for you, I want you to make a line here. If God is talking to you, every day can be a new beginning. I want to say that to you. God is not mad at anybody in this church. God loves every one of you. We have one of the greatest mercy showers that I've ever seen in my life is my daughter. And I want you to take hands and somehow the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. There are people up here. If you would just use the gifts that you know that you have, God would be more to answer your prayers. If there's anybody that's not up here that has gifts and you really feel like you're holding back on God, I want you to come up here. Let's get something done, because we don't need gun control. We need Satan control in our schools. This nation is rising up right now and saying, we don't want abortion in America. They're making a big stink out of it, because abortion is cold-blooded murder of the worst kind. There's room up here for you if you need to be up here. You've got just another moment. Is Jesus troubling the waters of your heart and you're holding back for some reason? I wouldn't do that if I were you. And now I'm going to ask our pastor. We obviously can't pray for everybody. We'd like somebody to stay and help us with the church. We'd like somebody to help us with our food ministry. We'd like somebody in this. There's somebody in this church that could start tithing. There are so many things that we could talk about. There are some people in this church that could be a little bit more supportive, whether or not you've got a teenager or not, whether or not you've got somebody that's your favorite or not. You just come because it's church day. Bless God. In the name, I dare you to do what God wants you to do and see what He'll do. This is a day of new beginnings. This is a day of new beginnings. You came up here for that. You have to understand something. God ain't interested in what you did yesterday. He's interested in what you're doing today to make them all different. There's time, angel. There's time. I'm saying that to everybody around you. There's time, Grandma, isn't there? You came up here for something. Do you feel like there's a little something more that you could do? All right. Then everybody's up here for the right reason. Where's my wife? I want to get right in there with her. I want to be prayed for.
Amen. Well, I feel like I've got to lay my hands on y'all, so you're going to just have to be patient. I'm going to pray a prayer, and then I'm just going to put my hand on you. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just plead the blood of Jesus, God, over all your kids, Lord, that they've come up here and they said, I want to step up to that line right now. God, I ask that you would walk with them. God, I ask that you would help them to walk with you. Lord, I thank you that they're walking with you, God, that they're talking with you. Lord, and right now I just tell every mountain in their life to move out of the way. God, every addiction, Lord, everything that's keeping us bound where we want to walk with you, but we feel we're torn right down the middle. God, I just speak to those things, God, and what they are is idols, Lord. And right now I just speak against them right now, and I bind them up, God, and I just loose, God, your perfect will on our lives. Lord, I ask that you would make us willing. God, I ask that you would make us humble, God, to do your will right now. So, Lord, I just lay my hands, God, on every single one of them, and I just speak, God, your perfect will in their life. And God, I just thank you right now, God, that you're helping us. Lord, you're helping us to walk with you. God, you're helping us to be obedient. Lord, I just ask you right now, God, that we would have a better attitude, that we would just tell you, God, to have your way, Lord, God, in our lives. And I just thank you right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. I just call us all productive, God, and willing, Lord, to do your will. And God, I just thank you right now, Lord, that as we come up here, God, we've answered that planting, God, of this message, and we've told you, Lord, that we want to step up. So God, I ask that you'd help us to step up. Lord, show us what we can do, God, to further serve you, Lord, to be better, God. And I just ask you, Lord, to make us all better, God, to make us all humble. And Lord, I thank you for everything that you're going to do this week. Lord, I ask that you bless us, God, and protect us. God, protect our coming, Lord, and protect our going, God, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. And we're going to clean the church. I've got some caddies right there if some people can grab some Windex and Windex the doors. If you can't find something to clean with, ask Miss Mary.